Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What issues around your house are staring you in the face this weekend?
Do I get the sanded grout or the unsanded grout?
The last 3 or 4 years, I've been fighting mildew issues.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Whatever questions you have.
This isn't real earth-shattering.
Lou is here to help.
I'm only taking earth-shattering questions. Can you give me an earth-shattering question?
Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah.
Yeah, here it comes.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
It's a brand new day. Ain't no clouds hanging over.
It is a brand new day. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4-LOU. That's me. 877-213-4568. How may I help you this morning? What do you got going on in and around your home? Oh, my gosh. Spring is on the way, and we are on the verge of turning the corner, which is really nice. Good morning to you, Lindsay. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Don. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great, Lou. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Morning.
All right.
Doing great.
Good
doing great.
Morning. Everyone's great.
Everyone's great. Look at her. She's doing great. She's working hard.
Right.
What happened?
Joe, it's like you in some hotel in Iowa,
yeah.
And it doesn't quite work the same. Lindsay is actually in Indianapolis because she loves the basketball tournament.
Of course.
And so she's been going to all the games. You know, she loves the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And,
it was a big night last night. Big night last
night. So we've got a little, a little tweak of some technology. A lot of people may not know, Joe. I saw you posted last night that you have been a broadcaster for minor league baseball, and you got that chance to do that yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't minor league; it was college. But
college,
man, did it feel good?
Didn't it feel good? Huh?
Yeah, I
was so happy when I saw that for you.
It was a doubleheader for the UIC Flames. They swept the doubleheader, and yeah, the last time I was calling a baseball game because I was lucky enough to do some White Sox pre and post here, but I was calling a baseball game was September of 2019, and it feels like 6 years ago.
Yeah, good for you. You know, Don, we got to get you a gig like that, Don, because you got the dulcet tones.
Ooh.
You, whenever, like, if I'm during the week and I hear you on the air, I'm like, man, that Don, he's got. I want him to be like a lullaby, put me to bed,
and
that's in a positive thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel you. And my mom says the same thing. Actually,
I think Don should read audiobooks.
She's your mother.
Yeah.
Oh, Don could totally do audiobooks.
Oh man, Joe, that's a great idea.
I
like reading. I do like reading too.
The Cat in the Hat.
Right. Maybe stay away from Dr. Seuss for a couple
of years. Oh, yeah, that's
true. Just thinking.
But like, I know where you're going with that. Right,
right. It is a classic. But yeah, I'd be all for it.
I love that. I love that. That's really good. You got anybody want a movie review to while we get things started at 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568.
Please, it's
this is heavy duty. Dean Richards was talking about this. The movie The Father.
Oh man.
Oh,
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's with Anthony Hopkins, and who's that other British actress? She's really good. She won the Oscar.
I'm looking at it right now.
Delightful. Anyway, it tells the story of a relationship between an aging
Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman, she's so good.
Yeah, she's
and
great.
Anthony Hopkins is amazing. Anyway, he is suffering from dementia, and it's their relationship. Anybody that has gone through this will totally understand it, and it's heartbreaking, but it is so well done. It's definitely not like, hey, let's have a, you know, it's not Coming to America 2.
Right, right.
Okay,
exactly.
So it's heavy duty, but it's a good one. So if you can see it, or I think it's, you know, streaming or whatever, I'm sure they're both going to get nominated, and it's so good, just so good. Anyway, so that's my movie review on House Smarts Radio. We do, we never do movie reviews, but because I always work on the weekends, my wife and I we used to have like a standing back in the day, like Joe's talking about 2019, we used to go on Friday afternoons and go to a movie. Like that was kind of a little date thing that we would do. And so now we've sort of transition to watching them in the afternoon. You know, it's good. Nice. Excuse to
it's nice to have that availability, though, right? Like with these, right. You know, these options to kind of watch movies
exactly.
that have come out on streaming.
Exactly.
It's nice.
Exactly. So anyway, more coming up from the gentleman coming up a little bit later on this morning. But I want to hear from you this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. And if you call us, happy to talk to you. And we can start things out right now with Barbara, who is in Huntley. Hi, Barbara. Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I have a wooden pergola that needs to be replaced, and I was calling to ask if there's another type of material that would work with low maintenance.
Well, how big of a pergola are we speaking of? And when you say you got to replace it, the whole thing, like everything from the ground up?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about 12 by 24.
Okay. And is it, how many legs hold up this pergola?
Three.
Okay. So the legs of it, you know, the posts will end up being either a wood, like a 6x6 or a 4x4, because the synthetic material, if you're going to go with something like a Trex or something like that, can't be structural, but it could be used for the pergola portion of it. But the other thing is, depending on how if you're going to use something like a synthetic, it has to be, the way it gets framed has to be a little bit closer and tighter than what you may have now. Does that make sense? If you're looking up right now and maybe the posts are 2 foot on center or something like that, it may be a combination of a couple of different materials if you're looking for truly low maintenance, not no maintenance. Now, the other, honestly, from a structural standpoint and a beauty standpoint, if you built it out of redwood, it would probably, you know, that's the wood of 100 years. And
right.
that would kind of give you the best of both worlds, because you could have the structure made out of it. And it follows more of a traditional layout when it comes to building this stuff. So that might be the best way to go.
Okay.
And you're in Huntley. I'm like, where are you going to find redwood? You need to go to a lumber yard. You're not going to find this at a Home Depot or a Lowe's. You need to go to an independent lumber yard. And whomever is going to build it, I mean, if you're going to hire a contractor to do that, maybe talk to them about doing it in redwood. And I think that you'll be unbelievably happy with how it looks when it's first done. That rich red look is beautiful. It will end up graying over time. And my suggestion is, if you get it built, you know, this spring, you enjoy that color, let it fade a little bit, and then in the fall, you could have someone come and clean it up and stain it and then be done with it. You know, like, you probably won't touch it for another 5 years.
Okay. We face the sun, the south.
Right.
So there is sun there from morning
yep.
till evening.
Yeah.
Is that going to discolor it even quicker than
well sure I mean yeah the sun is what you know I think that the misnomer with a lot of people when it comes to decks or pergolas or anything made out of wood is they think, oh, you know, I want the water to beat, I want to protect it from the water. Well, you really want it to, you want to be protected from the sunlight. And if you end up doing this and you make it out of redwood and you kind of take my advice of enjoying that red color for the summer, go to, I really like this product, this semi-transparent stain called Penafin. And Penafin makes different grades of their stain. And their highest UV blocking product is in a red can. And for a pergola, you probably would use one or two buckets of it. That's it. And that's what I would suggest that the contractor uses.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
You got it, Barbara. I appreciate you calling this morning as well.
Up on the roof.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
I have icicles on my house. Does that mean I'm losing heat?
Helping homeowners from coast to coast.
Now, there's a product. It's called Roof Melt.
Those little discs that you throw up on the roof to melt the ice?
Yes, ma'am.
And he wants to help you.
I don't know if you've got a good hook shot, but how's your basketball game?
I'm 79, my hook shot probably isn't too good.
If you need help with your hook shot or anything else under your roof, Lou's standing by. Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
When this old world starts getting me down.
Welcome back.
People are just too much for me to face.
877-2134-LOU is our phone number.
I climb way up to the top of the
stairs. This is Thomas in White Plains. Hey, Thomas. Hello, Thomas. No. Is that not Thomas? In that line one? All right. I'm going to put Thomas on hold, and I'm going to talk with, Dan in Barrington Hills. Hey, Dan. I hear you. Thomas? Dan? I hear people. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, come on, people. I hear you there. No? All right, let's try Suzanne. You know, it's going to be a long morning without any calls, with the call system not working. That's funny, right? You see them all. All right, I'm going to give us a call back, folks. 877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. And we will try and figure out why that's not working right now. There's some like a little glitch here real quick. But Dan or Tom or Suzanne, we had you there and then you were gone. If you wouldn't mind calling us back again at 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. I'm happy to help you. A little bit later on this morning, I had this really interesting conversation with a woman out of Seattle. I don't know if it's Seattle. She's in Washington State. And they have come up with a solution as it pertains to homeless shelters and the ability to get people, you know, out of tents or cardboard huts. And they've created these aluminum-framed shelters that these aluminum frame shelters that they can assemble in literally less than half an hour. And the smaller ones will sleep up to two people. They have beds and whatnot that are fold down, and they have windows and even air conditioning. The units start at around like $5,000. So the real opportunity is for municipalities that have these basic tent cities and trying to house people that, in a more robust and dignified way. And they can be cleaned, they can be, you know, reused. And so from a standpoint of a temporary shelter, or even like if there was a natural disaster and you needed to house people, that you could use this. So it's going to be an interesting conversation. I think you'll find it to be a good one. All right, let's go to let's try this again now. This is in Wilton, Connecticut, and this is Alice. Alice, are you there? Hello, Alice? Alice? Hello, Alice? I hear Alice, but she's not hearing me. Alice, are you there? Alice, are you there?
Go ask Alice.
Yeah, we just talked to Joe.
I'm not 10 feet tall, though.
No. I can hear Alice.
Hello?
Alice, are you there? Can you hear me, Alice? No. Yeah, that's funny that she can't hear me.
I'm wondering can Alice hear me?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Hi, Lou.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
My question is about the key that I have in my lock, but I can't hear you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna figure out what we're gonna do here. Hold on one second, Alice. This is the great thing about technology that just doesn't seem to wanna work. We're gonna put there and everybody take a deep breath. Let's talk about spring and all the different things that we can do to do around our house to make sure as we get the phone lines working. My apologies. You can also text me any questions that you have at 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. As we get this phone system figured out this morning, my apologies for that. But, you know, we're getting to that point now where we are wanting to get outside. We're wanting to do stuff. And it is a challenge, obviously, to kind of hold off because it might be just a little too early because the weather's not quite warm enough. And I think that one of the issues is that we can get out, rake stuff up, clean up. You may notice for areas that you get had a lot of snow, when you're looking at the lawn, there might be some issues there as it pertains to something called snow mold. And when you go look at your lawn, if you notice a white-ish area, maybe patches almost like, that are there that will kind of be matted down and almost look like a little bit of a webbing, and there may even be a little pinkish color. That's due to a lot of snow, a lot of moisture, and packed down for areas that got a lot of snowpack. And so the thing you can do now is take your leaf rake out there, and I know it's warm, you want to get out there, and start to stand up that grass. We want to get the matting down, sort of like when you wake up from a nap and your hair is all matted down. So kind of perk that stuff up a little bit. And so when you do that, then let's leave it. Don't start any four-step program or not even any seeding yet, because the soil temperature is too cold. And so the seed's not going to germinate. It's not going to do anything. If we can rake everything up, get the debris off the lawn, stand everything up a little bit, give it a couple weeks, then you could use some kind of soil amender, maybe even in a week. One of my favorites is a product called Milorganite. Scott's has a brand new product called Foundation, which is really good. And I think that if you try this out and you put that down there, you're going to set yourself off to a good footing. As far as those four-step programs, those are probably going to start in about 3 weeks or so, just because everything is so damp right now. And then we can get to see. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Well, you know, sometimes technology is not on your side, so my apologies. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. All right, we're going to give it one more shot, and then if not, we're going to get text messages, and we're going to try and help you guys out this morning that way and see if it works. So we're going to try one more time here. This is, should be, Joe, who's calling in from Connecticut. Joe, are you there?
Hello
there. Good morning. How may I help you?
Hi. Hello.
Yes, sir. I got you, Joe.
Can't hear you.
Can't hear me, Joe. Well, that's a problem. But I can hear you. Then let's, again, my apologies for things just not working today as they normally do. Go ahead, Joe. Yeah. When you go to radio class and you realize that things are not working the way it should, this is problematic.
Hello?
Yes, sir. I hear him, and there he is. But he needs to hear me, which is problematic. All right. How about now, Joe? Hello, Joseph? 1, 2, 3. Joe, can you hear me? Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Yeah. This is going to go well. We're going to have to really figure this one out today. All right, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Here's one text message that we have. Somebody, we put a new driveway in last year, and we now have black marks on our snow blower on many areas of this beautiful driveway. Ooh, what can we do to remove them, or will they fade naturally over time? I would not just let that sit. because I think that what you'll end up having to do is, as it sits there in the, you know, as the, it kind of gets in there and the sun starts to bake it, that's the last thing that you want to, you know, sit there and have a big issue. One, you can buy a product called Crud Cutter that is a really good material that's a cleaner that does a really nice job of degreasing and you know, taking that real hard stuff out of the you know, the concrete area. So what I would do there is put some on full strength, and you can buy something called a deck brush that you can put on top of it and scrub it, and then after that, let it sit there for maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, and just allow it to sit, and then scrub it one more time. And you can use a garden hose, really, if you want, to clean it up after that. And I think that that'll be your best bet. And then from there, you may want to consider doing something like, I mean, I would probably do some sealer for sure with the concrete driveway. One of my favorite sealers is a product called Bone Dry. And the Bone Dry product is a really good sealer. It's about $70 or so a gallon. So it is not, by any stretch of the imagination, inexpensive. But it really does a nice job. And I think that if you did that and then sealed it, you would avoid this problem from happening again. So Bone Dry, get the Crud Cutter, full strength scrub brush. You can buy these deck brushes that are on a pole, and you know, they've got like a, it's basically like the scrub brush you would use by hand, that you would use to kind of scrub it, and it does a really nice job. Now you can go the next route of using a pressure washer, which certainly would work well too. And the biggest issue there is if you're overly aggressive with the pressure washer, then you know, you run the risk of damaging the concrete. So I would tend to be more I would feel better if you just go at it with the brush and the Crud Cutter first, because that way you'll protect that investment. And as far as next winter, hopefully we don't have as much snow, and so you won't have those issues coming along down the pike there. Thanks so much for the text. You can send us text messages at 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is from Donna. Says, when the weather was super cold, I had some condensation drip from, and it set off my smoke alarms. It dried out now, but what can I do to prevent it in the future? This is a big issue for a lot of people with, you know, the so much snow and so much ice damming that occurred. I think that it was problematic. And you need to, A, maybe have someone go up into the attic space and find out what's going on as far as, you know, if there's any leaks or anything that needs to be addressed. One of the things that concerns me for a lot of folks is that if there's exhaust fans from the bathroom or anything that's just going up into the attic space and they're not vented all the way outside, that can be problematic, because when it's super cold, if it's up near a mushroom vent or something like that, the pressure from the outside won't allow that moist air to escape out of the attic space. And that's a problem, because then when we get excessive cold weather, you can get condensation up in the attic space, and exactly what happened to you can. The other issue is the insulation that you have up in that attic space. If that's not adequate and those pipes are you know, are exposed, the metal, or even if it's like you say, well, yeah, there's you know, insulation here where the smoke detector is and the lights, but if the pipes come up out of there and move off to another area and those are exposed, well, then that can be an issue for you down the line, because that cold will travel through the piping and then come out where it's, you know, open and heated. So if you check all that stuff and make sure that, you know, it looks adequate, that there's not any issues with exposure or, you know, anything that might be occurring there, more insulation, more ventilation, and then ultimately make sure those vents are plugged outside, you know, that they're actually on connected to a vent and piping outside to some vent, whether it's at the soffit level or the roof level, that is something that could work really well. All right. I appreciate the text message, 877-213-4-LOU. When we come back, I do have my farm story, and we will share that with you coming up. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back after this.
In snowy Jackson Hole, Wyoming, there just isn't the right space or weather to farm traditionally. That is, until three women came up with a brilliant idea to grow food locally. And all it took was a little outside-the-box thinking. Or rather, inside. Vertical Harvest is an indoor, three-story, hydroponic greenhouse located right in downtown Jackson that uses one-tenth of an acre of land to grow the same amount of produce that a 10-acre traditional farm would. The women behind the farm are CEO Nona Yehia, Penny McBride, and Carolyn Croft Estay. The ladies' combined backgrounds of sustainability, architecture, and career coaching led not only to an innovative local farm, but also to an opportunity to employ residents of Jackson with physical and intellectual disabilities who were looking to find meaningful work within their community. 5 years after the farm's opening, Vertical Harvest grows year-round, with 40 employees, half of whom have disabilities, producing and distributing to 40 local restaurants as well as 4 groceries. Not only that, but the farm is opening up its second location in Westbrook, Maine, which will be 5 times the size of their Jackson spot. The ultimate hope is to grow 1 million pounds of produce annually, selling to local groceries and restaurants, as well as schools, hospitals, and beyond. Women-owned, locally grown, and empowering employees? How's that for a triple threat? This farm is headed nowhere but up, literally.
That's a good one. I like that, where we can give back to our communities, and that's something that, you know, I'm always amazed by, and the fact that the farm community has always been there and will always be there, and we want to try and feature those stories every week here on House Smarts Radio, especially early in the morning where we may have some folks out on the agriculture, maybe sitting out on a tractor getting things ready to go on the ground. So thanks for everything you do. And I like, you know, sharing those stories as I can. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. All right, we're going to give this one more try and see if we can get this to work for us right at the end of this hour of House Smarts Radio, and see if we can talk with Thomas, who is in White Plains. Thomas, are you there? Oh, boy. I had such high hopes that we were going to get this going. Thomas, are you there? No. He's barely hearing me, and I can kind of hear him in the background, and we'll just have to figure out how to get this to work for us coming up a little bit later on. So my apologies once again. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is a text message from Dan, who wants to know, I'm thinking about a tankless water heater. What are your opinions and what are the best ones? Well, the ones that are the best ones are up for debate, right? Because it depends on the manufacturer that, you know, is making them, because all of them will claim to be the best ones. Within that, you've got a couple of options, right? The natural gas units, which most folks, if they're going to be replacing a tank water heater, will use. There are some really good electric units out there as well. If I was going to choose, when you're looking at different manufacturers, one of the things that I think is critical is, and this is something you can ask of them when you're looking at different manufacturers, is about the heat exchanger itself, meaning what the water is flowing through. Now, traditionally, when these units first came out, they were all made of copper, just because copper is a terrific material and it conducts heat very well. But that becomes an issue with scale and buildup. So doing an annual rinse of these units is very important. That is actually critical for all units. But what I think is really important when you're choosing a tankless water heater is one that has a stainless steel heat exchanger, because it's, I think it's more robust, and then it's going to be more longer lasting. Now, that being said, when the install goes in, when these first went in, this was not a consideration, and I'm talking about 20 years ago. Now, when the install goes in, the water line coming in and the hot water coming out will have valves in it to allow you to flush the heat exchanger. So not unlike with a tank water heater where, you know, I will ask people that you should drain the tank for the longevity of the unit, but the issue there with the tankless, because there's such high heat, you know, so keep in mind that, you know, an average tank water heater runs at about 60,000 BTUs when it's running. And so that is, you know, pretty high BTU, but the tankless water heaters are like 99,000, even higher heat. So when they're on, they're like a blast furnace. But the flushing of it with some type of calcium cleaner inside there on an annual basis is really important. Now, manufacturers, I mean, you've got companies like Navien, Takagi, the Bosch makes one. A lot of the technology all comes out of Asia. So it's, you know, they're putting, like the tank water heater companies, there's just a few manufacturers, and then they put their names on them, you know, one after another after another. And so that's something you have to consider. Like anything, when you're having an appliance installed in your home, it's all about who installs it. That's important too, right? What kind of warranty you're going to get. You're going to save a lot of space, which you'll be amazed at. Instead of this giant tank, you're going to have something just hanging on the wall. And you're going to have endless hot water. And so if you maintain them properly and you size it correctly, and most of them now vent outside, directly out the side of the wall, you don't have to go through a traditional, you know, venting through the chimney. I mean, you can have 20 years of service all day out of a unit like this. And when you consider that a tank water heater lasts about 10 years, you know, yes, it costs more, but you're getting more longevity out of it, and you're never running out of hot water. So I'm a big proponent, and I think that you won't go wrong. We have one in our own home that, ironically, the manufacturer is no longer in business, and so I'm a little bit on borrowed time, but the unit's probably about 7 years old now, 8 years old, and with proper maintenance, it's been great. I mean, we have zero issues with it whatsoever. All right, this is another one here. Lou, I'd like to paint the tile backsplash in my kitchen, and I'm wondering what kind of paint to use. Is there a product that doesn't require a lot of prep, like the Beyond Paint? That's from Meg. Okay, the Beyond Paint, as you know, is this very heavy-duty, almost like molasses paint, if you're not familiar with it. And it can be used for something like this. Now, with a tile backsplash, you don't necessarily need to invest in something. The Beyond Paint's expensive. Like a gallon's $120. So it's a good product. I don't want to go down on the on it at all. It's very good. It's just expensive. But with a backsplash, you're not really, you know, there's not a lot of wear and tear on it, right? It's more of a visual thing. And so the prep work with whatever paint you would use would literally just be cleaning the tile. And you could use a degreaser, you know, something like a crud cutter and a water mixture and a sponge. Wipe it all down, get it as clean as possible. And then after that, you would go back and paint it literally with any paint and primer in one, would definitely do a good job. You know, it's not anything that that you have to go bananas with. Might take two coats, and I would just use a brush and a roller, and it should work out just fine. All right, thanks for the text messages. Thanks for your patience, everybody, in this hour of House Smarts Radio. We're going to continue. Thank you for listening. We will try and figure out those technical issues and get back to your phone calls. Keep calling, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Just a minute, I have to tell you, I went to Menards,
and
I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
You young broadcasters.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle.
Don't call me Mr. Fix-It for nothing. I'm going to say that, and now my phones won't work. Welcome back. What's that?
I said, what are you doing?
Yeah, right, right. Why am I setting myself up? Good morning. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. You know, it's not a problem for me to talk. I'm a paid talker. I just don't know that people want to hear me speak for the next 3 hours, right? Yeah. Welcome back.
Don and I are trying to break some stuff so we can ask you how to fix it.
Right, right. Exactly right. You're like, could we text him? I know he can talk to us, so... All right, we're going to try this again. You guys are very patient. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joe. You're so nice. All right, let's give this a shot now. And you know what? If this works, we're giving Lee in Schaumburg a hat because this would be amazing. Lee, are you there?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, when I'm done speaking with you, I'm going to send you a hat. Joe Brand's going to send you a signed baseball bat. Don Kleppen's going to send you his cat. All right?
Take it.
Okay.
Right, right. Actually, Joe Brand's got a cat that just has one eye.
So you want a one-eyed cat or two-eyed cat, Lee?
Yeah, so you decide whether you want a one-eyed cat or a two-eyed cat, and we can make that happen. How may I help you, sir?
Okay, I have a problem with my patio doors. The back, it faces the south, and the unit is shifting, and the doors are a plumb, and when you stand inside, the solid door track, when it rains hard, it fills up with water, and the drain plugs aren't working, I say, and the floor is, when you stand and look at it, at the south and inside, the floor tips itself. The whole framework of the around the window is shifting. And I called a company who installed it. They come out and looked at it, and he's going to send another man out to look at it again. And that happened twice. They never came back. So I'm trying to find a good contractor who can pull this out and reframe it underneath. And my way of looking at things is put that tough stuff foam in there and slide this back in and leave the drain holes so they can drain the water.
Okay.
Because I had to cut part of my wooden floor out inside. The water is coming onto my floor too.
Right, but I guess my question, Lee, is when did this get installed?
When was it installed? 08.
Okay, and can you remember? In other words, this shifting that you're speaking of.
Yeah.
I mean, are you noticing other? In other words, this may be less about the problem with the door, and it could be a problem with the. The actual foundation of the home. I mean, are you noticing any evidence of this? Like, oh, there's a crack over there in a wall that I never saw before, and this window over here doesn't quite open the right way?
Well, it's right nice. No, I know there's no crack. The door slides back and forth, right? It doesn't hang up. But when you go outside and you look at the solid door, there's a seam there. This was last summer, and I had a guy caulk this. The seam started tight in the bottom, and it opened up toward the top.
Right, right, right. So this, to me, sounds like it's less of an issue with the door, and it's more of an issue with the home. Now, where this sliding glass door is, Lee, is there a base? Is there a basement underneath there? Crawl space? Is the house on a slab?
It's a basement. And it's sitting on the foundation, and the wood has got wet in the past, and it needs to be replaced. So I want to get a contractor to pull this window out and restructure all the wood and put this back in. See, that's the problem. Everything, the wood's all shifted and everything.
Right, right, right.
to sit.
I think based on what you're describing to me, I think you need two different contractors. One is I probably would contact somebody like a PermaSeal to come out and see if there is an issue with the foundation shifting, and they may be able to say to you, well, you know what, Lee, we could jack this thing up right here, and if we do that, you know, we'll not only support your foundation wall so that it's not sagging. Again, I'm going off of how you're describing this all to me.
Yeah.
And that may solve the door issue, meaning, you know, the repitching of the door. And and then you're good. Now, it may be that when you do that and then you say, okay, well, now I've got the foundation fixed, but now I need this wood framing that's under this door replaced.
Yeah.
The reality of it is, if they come and pull that old door out from 08, it'll be very difficult for them to reinstall that door without having to do excessive work on the frame itself. If the sill, if the sill on top of the foundation is damaged, then there's a good chance that the sill on the bottom of that door is damaged. And by the time they try monkeying that all around, you're going to have a door that's just not right. You know what I mean? It's just not right. So I would start with somebody like a PermaSeal to come out and take a look. And then you may want to call, and I work with both of these companies, both PermaSeal and the Gilkey Window Company, and have them come out to talk to you about putting in a new fiberglass sliding glass door.
Really?
Ooh, which then, and you can talk to them when they go to take this old one out, and they'll know that this other wood needs to be replaced, they should be able to help you with that process as well.
Because when I stand inside, look at this, when a sliding door opens down the bottom, the sill, they just shimmed it when they put this in, and you can feel the breeze coming in the left bottom corner all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the wood is shot under there.
Right.
Maintenance guy looked up in the basement and he goes, "This got to be all replaced."
Right.
You know.
Right.
And the drain. See, when he's setting aside the permanent door, the track last year we had a real heavy rain. I was sitting there at 3 a.m. with a baster pulling the water out of the track.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, do you have a pen or a pencil?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah.
Ready?
Because the left side was... No, she's going to get my wife.
All right.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Go ahead.
800.
Yes. 800.
421.
421.
Seal.
Okay.
800-421-SEAL. S-E-A-L. You call them.
S-E-A-L. Okay.
You call them and tell them we spoke. And have them come out. The estimate is free. And I'm going to have you stay on hold a second. We're going to send you out a House Smarts radio hat from our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling. Maybe you're working remotely and you're not quite sure what to do. Or maybe, you know, you need a new kitchen, bath, addition, siding, and windows. Cobblestone can help you create the ideal workspace or improve the value of your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
I'm not building a house right now, but you need lumber and copper to make houses. I was going to make Daisy, our Dizzy Dapple Dachshund, a little place, but I priced out the materials and it came to $84,000.
Whether it's for your house or your dog's house, whether it's the house you live in or the house you're building.
$84,000.
There was, Noelle had central air counter, the granite countertop. She wanted granite. Actually, she wanted quartz, and I said no.
Before you make any rash decisions, now's the time to call Lou.
Way to put your foot down, John.
She wanted a finished basement.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live.
And out loud.
On House Smarts Radio.
Yep. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's talk to Peter, who's in Jamaica, New York. Hey, Peter, thanks for hanging on.
Yes, I have a globe valve.
I haven't used for a long time, the shut-off valve. How do I loosen it up?
It's a valve for what?
A shut-off valve.
For the main water valve, or what do we got?
This is for a sink. You know, it's like a sink.
Okay. And is it cold? You said it's a cold water valve.
Right.
All right. Here's the risk when you're playing around with something, Peter, like this that you've never done. There's a chance, depending on the type of valve, that stem that the handle's connected to might be plastic, and you may break it. So here's what I would do to hedge your bet. First of all, know where the main water valve is. And I would probably spray the stem a little bit with a little lightweight oil and let that stand for about 10 minutes.
Like WD-40?
Sure. But one other thing.
Okay.
So you know where the handle is, right, that you're going to grab with your hands?
Right.
Then there's a little bit of a stem, and then there's a nut that holds that stem on.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I want you to take a wrench, and I want you to just loosen that a little bit. Now, it might be so tight that you got to put a little pressure and kind of pop it with your hand a little bit, and and just to crack it a little bit, because that's what's called the seat nut that's holding the valve stem inside the body of the valve. And if you just loosen that a little bit, it may help you to shut the water valve off, and then you can tighten that nut back a little bit, and hopefully, no problem. But if you snap this and start, it's good for me saying on the radio, but my point is that if you're not careful, it could break. So just be careful, and if you follow these steps, you probably have the best chance of it working properly for you.
Oh, good. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it, Peter. I appreciate you calling this morning. We got some nice people that were hanging on through our phone issue. This is Joe calling in from Connecticut. Hey, Joe, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, good morning, Lou. I could get through.
Yeah.
Some technical difficulties.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens to the best of us. How may I help you, sir?
Okay, I was going to install a utility sink in the basement with a Liberty pump. And I ran into some difficulties with the vent because there's no access to the vent from the basement. And one plumber had said to me that he would put a drain in a 4-inch, he would put a vent in a 4-inch drain and also put the vent along with the drain in that same 4-inch vent. And he said that should work. It's an overhead drain, 4-inch going out to the main. And I have some concerns about that.
So you're going to, put in a Liberty pump that goes in, like you're going to dig a pit, or you have a pit?
No, it's a freestanding next to the sink.
Oh, okay. And so it's a macerating pump that then pumps in up and out.
Correct.
Yeah. And you can't access the vent for that because?
It's overhead, and in order to access it, I'd have to enter it above the highest level of the tub on the first floor, which is opening up walls. And
Yeah.
So, you know, my option is to put just a straight vent in the basement without tapping into a drain. Or putting what he said is to put it, it's not code he's saying, but you know, it'll work to put both the drain and a vent into a 4-inch main, which it doesn't sound right.
Well, you could also do a loop vent, which is probably also not code. In other words, think about if this was an island, a kitchen island, you can do something called a loop vent where you kind of do an upside down U, almost like the St. Louis Arch. And that may or may not be code in Connecticut. I'm going to guess it's not. But it would work, especially with these pumps, because it's not super tightly sealed. The biggest issue with the venting is the odor. Okay. Now, it's a laundry tub that you're feeding, right?
Yes, it's only gray water. It has nothing right. to do with
so,
disposal.
Right. So what we're looking to do, I'm certainly not advocating anything against going against code, but what we're looking to do is make sure that it operates properly and that we control any odor. The fact that it's gray water, well, we're not, you know, we're not supplying a toilet or anything like that, and so you shouldn't really have an issue with this whatsoever. So talk to the plumber about a loop vent that would probably okay. be similar to what they would do in an island, and it should work.
Yeah, that makes more sense than putting it into a drain, because
then
it would suck
correct.
Odor from there, right?
Correct.
Okay. That makes more sense. That was my second option, because to go through the floor and up through the kitchen and open up a wall is kind of
That's way too for what you're trying to do. The biggest focus, I think, for you, Joe, we just want to make sure that it operates properly. The pump doesn't get jammed up. There's no siphoning that occurs, and ultimately the odor.
Right.
As long as we're just talking about gray water. And we're dumping it into the sewer line, you know, properly. And I don't think that you have an issue whatsoever.
Very good. Thank you, Phil.
All right,
I really
sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your patience this morning, all of you this morning. Hey, when we come back, a very interesting conversation ahead about homelessness and shelters and how there's a company that's providing shelters that offer more dignity to people. If you're someone that works at a municipality or a city, you're definitely going to want to listen to this, because I think you're going to find it to be super interesting. Anymore. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. I have spoken on this show for a long time about homelessness and what a problem it is and how there's no single one answer. But part of the answer is to just get people a home, someplace that they can be comfortable, someplace they can be safe. And there are a lot of people in the country and the world, really, that are working to solve this problem. One such company is based in Washington State. It's called Pallet, which is a special purpose company. Joining me on the phone line is Amy King, who is the founder and CEO of that company. Amy, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Thanks, Lou. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your company.
Yeah, so my husband and I started this company about four and a half years ago. Our goal was to provide a rapid solution and scalable solution to get as many people sheltered across the country as quickly as possible. So we are also general contractors. We build permanent, affordable, and market rate product as well. And we saw that it was just taking too long for that permanent product to be built. And we wanted to do something that sort of filled the gap. In addition to that, we employ people both in our construction company and at Pallet that are exiting the criminal justice system, addiction recovery programs, and homelessness. And they told us that this is really what was missing, a personal, dignified shelter space that people would love and use. And we felt like we just needed to do something different, think outside the box.
So here you are, you're builders and renovators, you know, doing this for people that can afford it. And you have the idea that you can take this talent that you have on being able to build homes and create these shelters, really, right, for people that can give them a feeling of safety, a feeling of belonging, and something that is affordable and very quick to assemble.
That's right. Yeah, we knew that in order for this model to work, it needed to be cost effective, easy to use, and quick for setup. So we gave those specifications to an engineer who helped us finalize the design. And once we knew what the design was, we started testing the market, trying to find out, is there really a need for this kind of model? And we specifically asked our employees and others that we knew that had lived experience in homelessness. And what we heard from them was that this was such a perfect solution, because a lot of people that are experiencing homelessness don't want to take the traditional shelter models that we've seen for a number of reasons. It might be because of past trauma or fear of illness, or they can't take their pet or their partner. And so this was really a way for us to address those populations, to provide a place for shelter and services. And it's just been wildly successful thus far. The cities that have adopted the model have seen fantastic outcomes and been able to get high adoption rates with populations that traditionally have resisted services.
All right, I want you to describe for me. I mean, I've spent time, looking at what it is you are building. One, you're building different size shelters or sleeping cabins, but describe how these things are built. You have a video, I believe it's you doing a tour of one of the shelters without the front on it, you know, so the cameras can look at it. So give me that for the radio description of what these structures are.
Sure. So we have two products that we sell right now. One is our Shelter 64, and the other is called our Shelter 100. The number relates to the size. So the smaller one is 64 square feet. The larger one is 100 square feet. These are panelized shelters that we package into trucks. We can fit about 30 shelters in a 53-foot semi-truck. They'll show up on site. They'll pull the panels out, and the panels themselves go together really quickly and easily with very minimal tools required. We can put shelters together in under an hour. So someone could be housed the same day, depending on the site selection and things like that. So typically what we see are really rapid setups where we show up the same day, we set up over a couple days or a week, and people move in with service providers. The shelters themselves are made of a non-organic composite paneling that is mold, mildew, and rot resistant, also pest and bed bug resistant. They are cleanable, sterilizable. You can wipe them out, hose them, bleach them between users. Another really important feature, they have a built-in structural floor, which is really important. As builders, we know foundation and concrete can be very expensive and time-consuming. And weather permitting, not always a great solution. So we wanted to provide something that was temporary, that could be set up really easily and then removed if needed and not damage the property underneath it. So the structure on the floor allows us to put the shelters right on any ground, grass, gravel, concrete, whatever's available. And they're, as long as it's relatively level, we can set them up really quickly.
The framing of these shelters is aluminum, correct?
That's right. Yeah, they have an aluminum structural frame, which gives them a lot of durability and a high wind resistance, but they're also very lightweight. So no individual panel weighs more than 80 pounds.
Right.
So they're really simple to put together.
I believe the smaller unit, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are two beds that can actually fold down, correct? And then there's also heating, cooling, lighting, a door that locks, windows.
Yeah.
Even a smoke and carbon monoxide detector is part of this.
That's right. So again, because we have history as builders, we understand building code, and we try to design these to be as close to building code as possible for resident safety and for easy adoption. So we wanted to make sure that people lived in these had the basic things they needed to be comfortable and to survive. So things like heat and air conditioning, electricity, so they can charge a cell phone or plug in a laptop or whatever they might need. All of the units can contain beds. Our customers can customize if they want beds or not, but the bunk beds hang off of the structural members on the wall, and then they can fold up during the day to make more room to move around if that's something that the resident would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But our 64 square foot comes with two beds, and our 100 square foot comes with four, and often our 100 square foots are used for families or family groups that are already living together.
So who are your customers now? Is it municipalities? Is it villages or cities? Is it an emergency situation? I mean, what kind of response have you seen so far?
Well, we've seen a mix of responses. Primarily, our customers are municipal bodies, so cities, counties, sometimes states. We've had some conversation with some federal agencies as well. But typically what we find is the use of public property or available property that's currently vacant or underutilized, which is a great model for getting people sheltered as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we work directly with nonprofit groups or service providers or faith-based groups that have land. It's kind of a mix. But one thing that we're seeing more of and we're really excited about is more private-public partnership to help resolve homelessness in cities across America.
Mm-hmm.
So business communities, private groups, individuals with their own land, thinking about how they could partner with a city or county to set up a shelter site in their community. So it's kind of a mix.
Amy, how long have you and your husband and your team been working on this?
that's a great question. So we started our construction company about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we started really thinking about sheltering and the fact that, you know, we were seeing the crisis grow and we were learning from our people who worked with us about what drove that and what those root causes were. And we really wanted to provide something that hadn't been done before that created community and belonging and a sense of place for people while they stabilized and rehabilitated. So we've been really working on the concept around that community-based approach for the last 6 years. But prior to that, my personal background is in healthcare and mental health. So this is, these are things that I have been learning about and had the privilege to walk alongside some people with lived experience for quite some time. But really, our staff currently are the ones who really helped us to understand what was missing in the U.S. today in response to homelessness and what we could do differently that really offered dignified and safe opportunity for people that they would want to take and that would address the root causes of homelessness that we see, not just putting people in housing for the sake of housing them, but really working to rehabilitate them. That's what we want to do.
You know, I talk and know the CEO of an organization in Chicago called the Night Ministry, and this is an organization that takes a bus out at night to provide health care for homeless individuals, and it's amazing to me. We talk to them annually, and the amount of young people that are on the streets with nowhere to live, and it's organizations like the Night Ministry, organizations like yours that are saying, okay, I know how to build stuff. And I think that, you know, here's a person that has this background in mental health. And so much of that can drive some of the reasons why people might be experiencing homelessness. And how can we provide a solution? I mean, you and your husband and the people working there have this tiger by the tail. And I think this is awesome that you're doing this. Now, the interesting thing about it is, you know, the prices of these things start at under $5,000. And so for some municipality or city to say, here's an encampment of people that are, you know, living in squalor, basically, that is not healthy for anybody concerned, and for a very small investment. You said you can get how many of these units on the back of a semi?
So we can fit 30 shelters in a 53-foot semi.
So 30 shelters can show up with one semi, and in a weekend, those people experiencing that homelessness can now have a safe shelter to live in.
That's right, yes. And that's the whole point for us, is let's provide something that's quick and easy to use. And as you mentioned, what we're finding as well, and I think is important to note, is that people that are experiencing homelessness are no different than people that aren't experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. They have the same needs of community and support and relationship that other people do. And so what we find is what you see today, people gravitating towards each other, trying to build their own communities, because that's what people do. They build their communities. They find a home base. That's natural. And so when you see an encampment or you see a sweep and it's frustrating to see people moved and displaced, those people are trying to find another community, or they might want to stay with their community, assuming that it's safe for them to do so. We wanted to provide an opportunity for cities to go to those existing communities and say, we know you're familiar with one another. Let's move you together as a group, or at least a few of you stay together as a group. And people that are experiencing homelessness are more likely to take those services if they can stay with something familiar, which, as a human being, I certainly can understand. We all want what's familiar. We all want something comfortable. And it's uncomfortable to have to leave the people that you know. Whether they're good people for you to be around or not is not the point. And so I think that's an important thing that we need to recognize, is that keeping people in community, keeping them with the familiar, is really critical for their success and their willingness to take services.
Yeah. You know, I was told this years ago, and I repeat it whenever I can. A lot of times when people see individuals, whether it's on the news or you're driving by and people are homeless, and, you know, you kind of turn and say, oh, that'll never happen to me. We are all just two turns away from being in that position. Yeah. And so anything you can do to help is definitely warranted. I love what you and your husband and your team are doing. Pallet is the name of the company. How do people, if it's a municipality, a city, individuals want to learn more about the things that you're doing, how do they find out more?
Yeah, people can visit our website, palletshelter.com, and it's P-A-L-L-E-T, shelter.com. We would love to hear from people. We get inquiries from people that are interested in setting up communities, but we also get inquiries from people who are experiencing homelessness, who want to help or who want to find out more. We get inquiries from community members who want to advocate for this model. So if you're interested in learning more about us, we would love to hear from you, and we would love to tell you more about what we're doing.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Amy, because I don't know your husband. I haven't spoken to him at all, but you sound like a woman with a lot of passion, and I would imagine at night when you're both going to sleep, you know, he's ready to close his eyes, and another thing, we got to do this, and we got to do this. And
yep, that's exactly right. I think I have exhausted him officially, but he's very supportive. And you're right. I'm a very passionate person. I care very much about issues like this. And he's been so wonderful in supporting my ambitions. So I'm very grateful for that.
Amy King is the founder and CEO of Pallet. You can learn more. Give me that website one more time.
Palletshelter.com.
Continued success. Keep doing the work you're doing. The Lord knows the world needs it. I so appreciate you taking the time this morning.
You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
4 years me and my wife were married, and we didn't live together first, which I recommend. Yeah, I do. No, here's what I recommend. If you have no experience living with a woman like I didn't, have someone brief you before you move in. A briefing will help, just for the first day. You're going to make decisions the first day that affect you forever. And I blew them all, really. And I'll tell you the most important one. I'm finding out now. It's the side of the bed you're going to choose. Yeah, you can't. Don't overlook that, because that's your side for life right there. No changing. And I blew the call. I didn't look at the TV angle. I didn't know. I went with my childhood instinct. I took the side away from the door in case the boogeyman comes in. Okay, all right. The boogeyman will get her. I'll be in my spaceship by then.
Now back to Lou and House Smarts Radio.
That's a good one. Ray Romano, what side of the bed are you on? And it's the bed, the side you're on for life, that's for sure. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is John, who's calling in from Rogers Park. Hey, John.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for having me on. Let me turn my radio off here real quick. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Whole house humidifiers. A couple of questions. Pros and cons. And also, we have an older house built in 1939. And the original furnace had one on it, I believe. There used to be a little glass bowl with a copper tube running down from the water pipe and a little petcock. You know, turn it on and fill it with water. You know, that had clogged long before he bought the house. So I'm wondering, you know, do we get the store brand? My son's an engineer, an electrician. He knows how to install that kind of stuff. Or do we have professionals come in and they have like a higher grade model?
Well,
what's your thought?
I mean, okay, so whole house humidifiers are a great comfort addition to a home. It's also a terrific way to improve the energy efficiency, in particular on the colder months, because if we add humidity to the air, you're going to feel more comfortable, which means you may turn the thermostat down a little bit. It'll hold heat longer. The furnace will run less, and it's better overall. I mean, there's no question. Now, I will say this. In an older home, as you've described, a whole house humidifier can make all these claims about, well, you know, in ideal conditions, we'll add this much moisture to the air, blah, blah, blah. But older houses, I will argue, are healthier houses because they're drafty. So when they're drafty, they don't hold as much moisture. And so don't be surprised if you got this thing cranked up sometimes, and you're like, oh, well, I mean, this isn't that, you know, I can't get to 30% humidity level in the home. You may never, but it's going to distribute more evenly than room air humidifiers.
Humidifiers, yeah.
And it'll also avoid some of that. You know, some of those ultrasonic units have an issue with creating like a little white dust if you don't keep the units clean, right? But, okay, yeah. So that being said, I'm a proponent and a fan of whole house humidifiers. Now, certainly, if you have someone professionally install it, they'll do a nice job, they'll size it correctly. If you want to do this yourself, all those very same units you can buy online.
I thought so. Yeah.
And so, you know, the world is a very, you know, it's a very accessible place now. And keep in mind that your electrician engineer son, who probably has it all figured out, you know, there is some connection point that has to happen inside a furnace and wiring that has to happen correctly. But obviously, if he has that skill set, then I wouldn't worry too much about it. I would definitely, if you're looking to buy one online, April Air, who's kind of one of the biggest makers of it, they've got a model, I believe it's called Model 700, which is sort of the bread and butter of the industry. And it has a fan on it as well, and it's fan-forced. It's got a coil that goes in that the water dribbles down, and then the fan forces the moisture into the plenum to then be distributed through there.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that you can hook up to your water system to have it automatically replenished, or do you
correct.
Have to
correct? Pour yeah. Water? Oh okay. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. You'll tap into the water line and you'll go there. So that should work really well for you.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
He's taking your calls live.
Where are you getting this kind of radio? No. Nowhere.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
Sweet dreams are made of.
Oh, sweet dreams, like when you're in a bed. You know, because Lindsay's out of town, we can't ask her about what side of the bed you're on. I played that little rejoin. Ray Romano did a story about, you know, choosing the bed. Joe Brand, you're a newly married young man. What side of the bed do you sleep on?
The wrong one.
Yeah. The wrong one for you? You didn't know about the angle of the TV and that kind of stuff?
No. At home, I sleep on the right side of the bed.
So if you're standing at the end of the bed, which side are you looking at the bed?
I'm looking at the bed. I sleep on the stage right side of the bed, and the reason I sleep on that side is because it's closer to the wall, and I have a much more narrow way to the front of the bed and the main part of the room where my wife gets easier access to the main whole.
So if I'm on the end of the bed, then, stage right would be the left.
The left side of the bed, yes.
If I'm at the end of the bed, looking at the bed, you're at the left side.
I know.
Don, you're not married, so of course, and I know you live with your girlfriend, correct?
Yes, sir.
So you're in separate rooms, but if you were, because your parents are listening.
Obviously.
if let's just say, you know, someday you and this lovely, what is your lovely girlfriend's name?
Gretchen.
Gretchen, if you and Gretchen were to someday tie the knot, what side of the bed do you think you'd sleep on? See how I'm playing this, Dan?
Yeah, this is perfect, Lou. Uh-huh. I'm writing it down actually for future reference for myself. I would pick what Joe's got going on. I would pick the left side if you're looking at it. Stage right if you're laying down in it. It's closer to the
really
window.
That's really interesting. So I sleep on the same side. The three of us. If I'm at the end of the bed, I'm on the left-hand side. Now, Lindsay, we were talking off the air. She said that she thinks that most women sleep closer to the door. Because Lindsay's on the right. If you're on the end of the bed, she's on the right. Now, at our home, with our primary bedroom, the bed is sort of centered in the bedroom. So the door is really centered. So you're not closer to the door. But I seem to remember, I'll have to check with Mary Beth on this, when we first got married, we had a really small apartment, and we had a full-size bed, maybe a queen. Remember, we had this old headboard, and I was against the wall where if I had to get out of bed, I would have to scooch to the end of the bed, you know?
Yeah.
Because you could, and also it was colder, so my wife didn't want to sleep by the cold wall. You know, it was an older house. So I think, I'm pretty sure about this, that we have switched in our lifetime. So in Ray Romano's thing, that, you know, you pick the side of the bed forever, but the three of us are all on the same side of the bed. I don't know how I feel about that, but
that's pretty fascinating. You think you've switched, though? So you switched over to this side?
I'll have to double check. Okay. But I seem to remember when I would go to work early in the morning, I would scooch to the end of the bed. Can you imagine?
Oh, totally. I've
done that. Giant guy scooching to the end of the bed, like trying not to wake my wife.
Right,
which
is like impossible because you're shaking the bed as you're scooching.
And it was an old bed. It's creaky. It was all, it was not good.
Well, you know what's interesting? Way back when I was an intern here and I was interning for the Steve Cochran show, this conversation got brought up and somebody, and I can't remember who it was, I want to say Ann Johnsos, though, said that they rotate. I mean, it's random every night. They don't have one specified side of the bed, and everyone went ballistic.
I refuse to believe that.
Right?
That sounds like a bit, you know, like a planted response.
Whoever first is to lay in the bed, that's their side, and it's not like there was a preference.
I mean, there's no, back in when we used to travel, like if we go to, and Lindsay even mentioned that she's out of town, that they switched where they slept in the hotel because she had to get up early for the show and she didn't sleep a wink. I mean, if we go to a hotel, we immediately go to the sides that we normally sleep on.
Right.
Like I can't sleep on the other side of the bed.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel right. You get used to that and it's routine.
Well, you know, what's funny about that is when I would travel with the baseball team, I never had a rhyme or reason for which side of the bed I took, but for some reason, whatever town, whatever hotel I was in, I remembered what side I slept on, and I would always slip on that specific side for that specific spot. And then when my wife would come visit, she's like, no, that's not your side. You're on the other side. I'm like, well, no. Here in Peoria, I sleep on this side of the bed. Or here.
It goes back to the first thing you said. You were on the wrong side of the bed.
Exactly.
There is a wrong side, for sure.
Poor Lindsay says she's being silenced. She has so much to say on this topic. Well, what can I tell you? Enjoy the basketball game.
Send it in a podcast.
Yes, we'll do it in the bonus content that we put up on the web. 877-2134-LOU, 877-2134-568. This is Len, who's in Glen Allen. Hey, Len.
Hi, good morning.
How may I help you, sir?
Got some seepage that just came up last week, and it's on the beam that's over the entrance from our outside hallway into our living room, and it's discoloration. I know I had a lot of snow on our roof, but I just don't know exactly where it's coming from. We're supposed to get a roofer to come out here and let us know. But this is the first time I ever had an experience like this. And I don't know where to go to after they find out where it came from to have this repaired. And I was hoping you would have a referral.
When you said you have seepage, the seepage came into the house or into the basement?
No, it's right. There's like a beam that crosses the entrance from our outdoor outside hallway into our living room.
But this is on the main floor of the house.
On the main floor, yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. So this is something that a couple weeks ago, I had the owner of Rogers Roofing, John Rogers, on, and we talked a little bit about, you know, exactly what you just said, Len. I never had a problem before with my roof, and this particular year was a tough one because of all the snow, all the ice, all the really cold weather. There's probably nothing wrong with your roof. And, you know, don't be surprised if someone comes in and, you know, looks at it and says, hey, buddy, we can't find anything wrong here. You know, maybe the gutter's clogged or something like that. But if you had a buildup of snow and ice and it lifted the shingles up and the ice got underneath there, that could be what caused that problem. And there's a good chance it never happens again. Now, if it was a lot of water, then it might be that you need to open up that area where the beam is just to make sure that any insulation or whatnot there has a chance to dry and you don't cause any mildew or mold issues, you know, long term. Now, the roofing contract.
Well,
go ahead.
It doesn't look like there was a lot of water because it's just stains. And it looks like where that tape from the drywall a little bit of that came apart.
Right, right. So for that, what I would probably tell you, go ahead and have that roofer come check it out, see what they have to say, and maybe if there's some repair that has to happen. For the area where this damage is, you need a painting contractor, and I would hire them to cut out that drywall, like even just a 1 foot by 1 foot area to just inspect it. And if they look at it and they say, hey, mister, this looks fine, they got to patch it anyway to patch the separation that you have. So having them patch a 1 foot by 1 foot hole to just give them an inspection point is not the end of the world. And if you're looking for a painting contractor out by you, go to the NARI website, NARI.org. Type in your zip code, type in painting contractor, and you'll get some members of the association out there that you could call to have them come and accomplish this work for you. That's the best way to go. The biggest issue is I just don't want you covering up problems that could lead to mildew and mold. It doesn't take much, especially when it's all closed up. Len, thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, you know what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. All right, first there was a run on toilet paper, right? Now it's going to be a race for the truckload of actual toilets that have arrived at Builder Supply Outlet. New American standards, including Acticlean self-cleaning toilets. Yes! With dual cleaning cycles activated with just the press of a button, making your job easier. Love it. See all these designer toilet options retailing for over $1,000 and get them for a third of that price at Builder Supply Outlet while supplies last, so get there fast. WGN. He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon.
Could be a pair of jeans.
Let me play.
Could be a little black dress. 877-213-4-LOU.
Let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars.
This is Anne in Chicago. Words, hi, Anne.
Hello, Lou.
Morning.
Hello.
How may I help you?
Okay. I have closet-made shelving in lots of closets in a downtown condo, and over the years it accumulates that sort of sticky, greasy-feeling grime that penetrates everything in the city. I have an opportunity to take all the shelving out and clean it. And Fantastic doesn't work. You know, most of the spray cleaners just don't work on that greasy dirt. I need help.
Where are you going to wash these sticky shelves?
I was going to put them in the shower.
Oh, all right. So let's get, we need a degreaser. So they're like less than 6 feet long. I mean, you can handle them. My only concern, I don't want you scratching the bottom of that shower. So,
okay, I'll put a towel in.
Put a towel or a tarp or something. You know, if that gets wet, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Stand them up. Spray them with a, go buy a quart with a spray bottle of crud cutter. And spray them on there and let it sit there for like 10, 15 minutes or so. And then with a nylon, you know, one of those scrubbing brushes that that you can hold with a handle, just go back and forth with that full strength. I'd wear some gloves, too, and get all the degreasing done with that. And then you can turn the shower on and rinse it, let it dry, and then you can put it back in place. But the crud cutter should work for you. You're welcome. It's a really good degreaser, and I think you'll have really good results with that. This is Pat in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Pat. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. Long-time listener. Have a question that I've heard you mention a product before that you used on your son's cabinets. I've got some pre-painted cabinets, and they were painted. I did all the stripping and refinishing, and I didn't bother to really look into the paint on my own. I took our handyman's word for it and put a, I won't give the brand name, but an interior acrylic latex on it.
Yeah.
And a year too late, 2 years later, these things need touching up all the time. They're dirty looking. Is there a product that I can repaint on these cabinets before actually wanting to reface these things?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is the base that's on there is only as good as the base that's on there. So you can certainly repaint them. And if we're just going to buy some time, then I would lightly sand what you have, okay, just to kind of open up the pores of the paint a little bit, so something to stick. And then, quite honestly, just use a good paint and primer in one if this is a temporary fix, so you don't have to spend the farm. Semi-gloss. Actually, the Clark & Kensington, which you can get at Ace, has a reformulated, I just learned, the cabinet and trim paint under that, underneath that brand name, and just brush and roll that on. That'll buy you a couple of years before you do any refacing, and it'll look really nice, and it should be pretty durable for you, and I think that you'll be really happy with the results. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, around us, the signs are starting to emerge that spring is here, the temperatures are getting a little warmer, clocks are moving forward tomorrow, buds are starting to form on the trees. This change of seasons is a great time for spring cleaning. How about you tune in next Saturday, March 20th, from 6 to 10. Right then, we'll be talking more about spring cleaning, from freshening up rooms to cleaning your carpets, overall home maintenance as we head into spring and summer. Our spring cleaning show is sponsored by the following folks. Cobblestone Remodeling. You can visit them at cobblestoneremodeling.com. Executive Green Carpet Cleaning. Book now at wgnclean.com. J.C. Licht, the country's largest locally owned Benjamin Moore retailer, and Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling. You'll find them at cleanfireplace.com. Mm-hmm. So welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. I've got a new Tulu 2 right now, which is a really cool light. I don't know how I can describe it. Well, I'll tell you what. You listen to what Lindsay has to say, and then we'll talk about it at the end. This Noodaloo 2 is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
Generate instant light and power from the pull of a cord with this week's new Tulu 2. Whether you're camping, have a garage or a shed without power, or, as the unfortunate recent events in Texas have demonstrated, lighting can be one of the trickiest things to figure out if you don't have power. Our new Tulu 2 this week, the Now Light, aims to get around that problem with a battery-powered light that you can charge simply by tugging on the cable. That's right. If you can pull a cord, you can see the light. Now Light. Oh, hey, I get it. Now Light has 6 brightness settings from 5 to 160 lumens and a 5-volt USB port for charging mobile devices. A minute of pulling makes up to 2 hours of light or 15 minutes of mobile phone talk time. When fully charged, Now Light provides up to 50 hours of light or a full charge for most smartphone batteries. There's also a solar and USB charging option in the box. With a full solar charge, you'll get 5 hours of light. The kit also comes with an extendable pendant light, so you can move it around if need be. It's a fantastic tool to have for emergency preparedness. Also a great tool for campers, outbuildings, actually so popular for sheds, at one point the company even considered renaming it Shed Light, but they didn't. A little history about the company. Now Light is the evolution of a product they originally created called Gravity Light, which was an LED lamp powered by gravity. They got their start focusing on bringing light to those in sub-Saharan Africa living without electricity, and still today, they offer a spot on their website where customers can choose to donate a Now Light to that community. Now Light goes for $119. We're going to put all this information and a photo up on our website. Just check out housesmartsradio.com for more, and keep shining that little light of yours.
That's this week's Noodaloo 2.
Whoopee!
Okay, now this is a really cool item, and what's amazing is you won't get to have the conversation between Lindsay and I because she thinks this is really cool too and has lots to say, but we just can't get her on the air this morning. But so if you can imagine, so there's a module that is, I would say, the size of a coffee cup, like a large coffee cup, okay? And under it is like a conveyor belt type of looped chain that's plastic, and it's got these little knobs ever so often. And the idea is that when you pull it, there's a generator in there, and you pull it a few times, and it rolls. You know what it's like? Remember the old, when you'd go to the a bathroom, and they had the old cloth hand towel that you would pull and you'd dry your hand and then you'd pull it again, you know, like that's probably not COVID friendly anymore. They don't do those anymore, but good for the environment, right? Because they would wash those. But it's like that. So you pull it, it generates power and stores it. So listen to what Lindsay said in that thing piece. You pull it and you get 15 minutes of light. Like I think you do one rotation of it. And a minute of pulling. So you pull this thing for a minute, you know, three, 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 three. You get 2 hours of light or 15 minutes of, like, if you had to plug your phone in there. Now, when she talked about the shed light idea, right? Nor, you don't need a solar panel, anything like that. You go, dun, 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 boom, you got power. And then this pendant light that kind of looks like, it looks like an upside down wobbly seat, like type of thing with a pole, and it's got bulbous on the end, gives you this bright, bright, luminous light up to 5 hours when it's fully charged, which is amazing. Initially, you look at it, go $119. That's really expensive. I'm sorry, 50 hours of light fully charged. That's amazing. So it's a really cool idea. And the fact that it was philanthropically designed for people that don't have light. I mean, think about these communities where when the sun goes down, everything shuts down. Now you pull this thing for a minute and you just 2 hours of light to make your dinner or talk with your family or whatever. It has amazing applications for, you know, when ice fishing comes back again, I could take that out to my ice shanty at night and just have pot light all night long. Oh, this is great. Get me one of those. I want one. We'll post it up at HowSmartsRadio.com. You can find out information there as well if you'd like to learn more about it. Really, really cool idea, the Now Light Kit. And you can learn about it if you go to HowSmartsRadio.com. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568. Let's talk to Rick, who's in Woodstock. Hey, Rick, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my call. We just moved back from Seattle. We've been there quite a while. We've been here about a year now. And we are in Woodstock.
And are you... Wait. Are you happy with the move?
Well, I grew up here. I'm from Park Ridge originally, and I'm 81 now.
All right.
And I was a musician here for 35 years, and I retired in 1995, and we moved to Seattle, and we've been in Seattle till about a year ago. Am I happy to be back? Yes and no.
All right.
I mean, I love Seattle, and I love GN. I've been listening to GN since before, well, Wally Phillips.
Wow. How old I am. even when you were in Seattle? Did you listen to the radio station when you were in Seattle, like on the web or anything like that?
No, I didn't. But, I mean, I remember I listened to WGN all the time. I remember Bob Collins and Spike Odell and as I say, Wally Phillips and Roy Leonard and all those people.
Well,
I just loved it.
We're happy to have you back.
Well, thank you, sir, very kindly. And I'm at a crux here, whether trying to figure to jump off the cliff or not. The house was built in 2006, and the master bedroom is on the first floor. Well, the basement is unfinished, so I know that's probably the biggest problem for the question I have, but we don't have the funds right now to, and the way things have been going, to do anything about that. But right underneath the master bedroom is where they put the furnace and the water heater and all of that. And there's a big cold air return in the master bedroom, of course. And my wife, it's keeping her awake. She's having a heck of a time sleeping ever since we got back here. It is very, very loud. And I went down, I looked at it, and I tried to figure out a way to silence or at least tone it down a bit. And I, of course, the common thing would be to put a ceiling in with insulation, but we can't really afford to do that right now. And in the meantime, my wife's getting grouchier and grouchier and grouchier. I thought, help! And then I said, I'm going to call Lou.
The sound that you're speaking of is actually the sound of the furnace itself, or is it the sound emanating through the cold air return?
It's both. It's because it's directly under, we've moved the bed in the master bedroom and everything to different
areas,
but we still hear the furnace click on and come on and off, and it's very loud. Plus, its sound is magnified coming up through the cold air return.
Okay. I mean, the way that you're going to quiet this down, there is going to be a little bit of an investment to do this. Again, not knowing exactly how it's set up, but one of the things that can happen is many times if there's a vibration sound that comes through the ductwork, the HVAC contractor can put in this, basically it's an isolation band. So if you can imagine when you go down to that basement area and you look at that cold air return trunk, if I were to cut out, say, a 2-inch swath of it, right, so that the pieces of ductwork now did not connect by maybe more than 2 inches, maybe 3 inches, right? I just took like a chunk out, like I'm slicing a cake and I'm taking a 2-inch slice of the cake out. Then they put this banding around both sides of where the slice is, and they put a piece of vinyl, almost like a piece of canvas, around it like a belt so that the metal doesn't touch each other, and if there's any kind of movement, it can quiet that portion of the system down. That's one aspect of it. The next aspect is to put some type of dense insulation in the ceiling of the room versus, you know, or the floor of your room. And one of the things you could do that would probably help a lot. Now, one question, when I'm down there and I'm looking at that, you know, what is the bedroom floor up above me, is it relatively free of obstructions, or are there pipes and things all over the place?
Well, there's work. It's say right over the furnace, so there's a lot of ductwork there. A lot of ductwork.
Okay.
And pipes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
Because the water heater's there too, and everything's going up.
Right. So you would put there's a very dense solid insulation board called, it's the acronym is ISO board. It's 2 inches thick. It's very dense. It's almost got a cloth material on both sides, and you can buy
ISO board.
It actually is polyisocyanurate is what it is, but you could cut these boards. I don't know why I've always remembered that, but that's what it is. And you can cut these boards with a utility knife, like a puzzle,
okay,
and fit them, yeah, and use screws to connect them all and tape the joints. It's not terribly expensive. It's a little bit involved in cutting it out and shaping it and basically creating like a jigsaw puzzle around this furnace area to deaden the sound.
Yeah.
And for, you know, not a whole heck of a lot of money, you might get Mrs. Rick to sleep a little better, which will make Rick's life a little better. And in the meantime, what you may want to consider, too, is a sound machine, which sounds crazy to add more sound. But if you did a sound machine. Hey, Lindsay, what's the name of that sound machine that we both use, the white noise machine that It's called, I'll think of it, but it my wife uses it all the time. We use it. It's really, it's called Lectofan. Lectrofan. Lectrofan. And put that next to her bed, okay. And it has that white noise. And I'm telling you, it is amazing how it can help neutralize the sounds you don't want to hear and will really help you sleep. Rick, I appreciate the phone call.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Remember this house.
Taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
That it works by hand. Yeah. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. Yeah. It was a love that I was proud of.
877.
This is a life, but a life that he planned on the love.
2134 Lou.
The house that Jack built. The house that Jack built. Remember this house.
Back to your phone calls. This is Missy in Lily Lake. Hi, Missy.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
Good. This past week, we had an issue. We were just sitting at the kitchen table, and we heard like a scratching noise. And nothing happened. I looked at the dog, and then all of a sudden, our smoke detectors went off. And I'm like, what's going on? And here our kitchen ceiling fan, a light bulb started smoking. So we turned it off right away, and this electrical smell came about. And we took the light bulb out, and it's black as can be. And it's an LED light bulb. And they've been in there probably a couple years. I'm just startled by how this happens. If we weren't home, what would have happened? Mm-hmm. You know, we leave a light on periodically when we do leave. So I just don't know. I'm scared of the LED light bulb for this situation.
So you heard a scratching sound?
Yeah, like it was. It sounded like one of the dogs was scratching something on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over and I didn't see anything. And then all of a sudden the smoke detectors went off and the kids yelled, "Mom, what are you burning?" And I didn't tell
anything. You're just lucky that I make you food. Stop making fun of me. That's what you should have said.
That's what I should have said, right. And, you know, I don't have my sense of smell or anything right now, so I didn't smell anything. And then all of a sudden, our middle daughter said, "Mom, the light bulb is smoking."
Hmm.
And so we turned it off right away, but it's an LED light bulb, and it's dark as can be. I mean, it is black.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I've never heard this. Assuming the scratching. So, okay, the anatomy of an LED light bulb is there is circuitry inside the bulb. And so perhaps, okay. You know, the sound perhaps was some sort of fizzling. And the light was on at this point when this all occurred?
It was. It's a ceiling fan light.
Yeah.
We didn't have the ceiling portion, but the
right.
light bulb. So it's
but the lights were on.
Bulb.
Four. Right.
Yeah.
I have not heard this before of a LED light bulb. It didn't catch on fire, but it smoked or shorted out. So, I'm sure that if you Googled it, you'd probably find people posting stuff all the time. It has been my experience using LED light bulbs now for probably the last 7 or 8 years that they are safe. And okay. You know, are there, you know, anomalies to all this? Of course, there's mm-hmm. Things that you and I think are perfectly safe. You can find people to tell you, oh, but gosh, no, I would never use a spoon. You know what I mean? It might be. But one thing that I think would be wise is if you still have that light bulb and you know who made that light bulb, It might be worth spending a little time to reach out to the manufacturer, you know, on their website or somehow find them and just explain to them the story so they have this information, right?
Okay.
And also so that they may be able to enlighten you, perhaps, if it's GE or Fite, whatever it might be, to say, oh, yeah, you know, we did have a problem with this. And not that you're looking to get free light bulbs, but they may send you a package of light bulbs. You know, but I have no reservation telling you go put LED light bulbs back in that light fixture. I don't think you'll have an issue whatsoever. And, you know, the technology keeps getting better and better, so I think you'll be okay.
Okay. All right. I mean, we changed them all, and, you know, I told my husband, I said, maybe we should change the whole light fixture,
yeah.
You know, and he's like, no.
I think you're fine. The other issue is, are those lights on a dimmer?
No, they're not.
Okay. Because if they are on a dimmer, they need to be on what's called a universal dimmer so that they dim properly and then the circuitry doesn't overheat. So that's another issue. But without them being on a dimmer, I wouldn't worry. And I don't think you need to change the fixture.
Have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now's the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would heal it.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstain.
Welcome back. I don't get tired working on a building. Thanks for joining us this morning. Joe, I'm going to put you on the spot just real quick, but not super on the spot. But I need to ask you a few questions and maybe get your opinion on this. So, you know, sometimes, Joe, I like to come up with ideas, and I throw them out there with different people, and I don't always get the kind of response, or in this case, any response whatsoever. And so I have this idea, and I'm just going to throw it out there on the air and see, you know, what happens. So I've been driving, you know, when I go to our store in Villa Park, I drive down the expressway, 94, over by Rosemont,
mm-hmm.
and I pass that impact field,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's in Rosemont, where the Chicago Dogs play.
Right.
And now I think the Kane County Cougars are playing there too, right?
They are going to be playing in the same league as the Chicago Dogs. So they will
in the same league.
Yeah, so they will be playing against the Chicago Dogs.
I think that WGN should broadcast the Chicago Dogs games. Stay with me. Just on the weekends as a start. Right, it's a whole local thing. Like, I go by that field, and there's big signs, and they got, like, sky boxes, and it's a really beautiful ballpark.
I've yet to go in it.
I haven't been in it, but yeah. When I drive by it, I'm like, you know, it's accessible. Rosemont is a very nice thing. I mean, I don't know if you can listen to a Chicago Dogs game.
So you can, but you watch it. It's streamed online.
Imagine if on the weekends we say, hey, WGN's going to be your partner for the Chicago Dogs. I know you have been with the Kane County Cougars. I'm open for that, too. We don't do baseball anymore on this, but it's super local, right? It's mm-hmm. local. And we do local, like WGN does local. Imagine if we partnered with them and we could do, now as we're coming out of this virus, you know, we could do events. They got skyboxes there, right?
We could have staff be Bat Boys and stuff.
Right? And now, Bat Boy Don Kleppen, there he is!
Yeah!
Watch out for that ball, Don!
Oh, God.
Look at that, he almost got hit, right?
Man.
And we could do all that, right?
I would be so into that, actually. I'd love to run around.
Right?
I'm not going to say let's not have baseball here on WGN Radio, but I agree with everything
There's
you just said.
There.
But...
Yeah.
Let's just swap the Chicago Dogs with the Kane County Cougars.
Oh, I mean, the loyalty.
The Kane County Cougars are very local. Lou, they've been
Absolutely.
Here since That's 1991.
True. But what was more appealing to Chicago people? Do you think Cougars or hot dogs are more appealing?
Well, it depends on the person.
I suppose. fair point. Fair point.
That was coming.
Ooh.
Well, you know what we could start with? We could start with just doing the games of the Dogs against the Cougars.
Yes, the rivalry.
Right?
Because
so local,
the rivalry.
Local. I love the whole. I like the whole. There's. I'm telling you, there's something there. For you fine people at WGN Radio that make all the decisions, I'm telling you, there's something there.
All right, you've got my support,
just
Lou.
Throwing it out there. 877-213-4 Lou. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines. This is Dan in Barrington Hills. Hey, Dan.
Yes, good morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
I have a, I'm on well and septic, and just recently, it started with the first cold snap. When I turn on the water early in the morning, there's sort of a bagging as if there's air in the pipes. But it's very infrequent, and I thought it would go away with the cold weather. But it happened just recently, and it's been pretty warm. I'm just wondering, is that the sign of a pump that's wearing out, or what is that, Lou?
Well, I mean, it could be a pump. It could be your expansion tank that you have, near the inlet of the system.
Sure.
But before we call somebody, which is what it would entail, let's just try one other thing that you can do yourself. Shut off that main valve. And let's drain the system down. So you're going to open.
Okay.
You're going to open everything up inside, high and low, and actually put air into the system, and then close everything, and then carefully, slowly open up that main valve to fill it back up again. I don't know that this will solve the problem because it sounds like it's more of your pressure tank that is. Causing this, and that might be, there's a bladder inside there, and that can wear over time, and it certainly is not, out of the realm of possibilities that you need to get a well contractor out there to take a look and swap that thing out. But you could try this, what I just described, and that may help.
If I need to replace that bladder tank, Lou, do you know a good brand? Do you recommend one?
Well, I don't have a brand that I would recommend in there. That would be something that you'd get out of the well contractor. I'm really not that familiar with the brands themselves. I mean, while they're mechanical items, they're pretty basic. And so I'm trying to think of the one we have. What's it called? That's been very good. But there is, Lindsay, remember that guy, the water treatment guy, West Suburban Water Treatment, that we talked about? He's out by you. You're in Barrington Hills. There was a guy that we talked about, Suburban Water or something like that. Keep listening. We'll find it, and I'll give you the name of this company. That'd be someone you could contact. We even talked to a well contractor probably about 2-3 months ago, really knowledgeable young man who's been in the well business, his family, for a very long time. Give me about 10 minutes or so and keep listening, and I will get you the name of that person that you could contact. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Arlene in Florida. Hi, Arlene. Oh, no, Arlene hung up. I'm sorry. This is Peter, who's in Sauk Village. Hey, Peter.
Hi there. Let me kill the radio behind me. There
yep.
we go. I got an electrical problem and a radio problem, if you will, and it's particularly irritating because it hits the AM band, which
is what we're on.
That's right. I mean, my radio is glued to WGN, and I can't deal with this not being able to. I'm trying to get this off speakerphone, and I'm having trouble. There we go. Anyway, I have a plant light table, or a planting table in my kitchen. This is my I just thought of it because you were talking humidifiers before. This is my humidifier.
Okay.
It's a 3-foot by 6-foot by 7-foot tall structure with 12 pineapple plants on it. Along with assorted other tropical things that couldn't tolerate outdoors.
Okay.
And it's all lit by 6 of those huge corn cob LED lights.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with
them. I am.
Cylinder.
Yep.
And I've got 6 of the 100 watt units banging out 60,000 lumens on these plants and generating a bunch of radio static. The reason I know it's them, the timer goes off at night, and all of a sudden I can hear WGN just fine. So the one thing about the table is I've set up, to help keep myself from getting blinded, I had aluminum foil curtains hanging down around the lights, reflecting light back in on the plants.
Sure.
Out of my eyes. Now, my cat decided to destroy them, and I got to replace them. So I was thinking about taking some 2-foot-wide aluminum flashing and, like, drill a couple holes, hang it from a couple hooks type deal on the three sides I can get to, and then grounding them. Do you think doing that?
I mean, so however you accomplish what you're trying to accomplish with your tropical garden there, at issue is the static you're getting on the AM band.
Right, and it isn't coming over the power line because
right.
It
no,
happens
no, no.
to the.
But you mean every? But every everything you just described is the problem for the AM frequency, and the fact that and the fact that you the fact that you you know that when it shuts down everything's fine, the grounding isn't going to really do anything from a reflecting standpoint. Remember that the LED lights, as I mentioned earlier with the caller, there's circuitry inside it, and
right,
and you're sure you're just growing pineapples in that thing, not some other substance that we. No, never mind.
Well,
that's never mind. We'll keep talking about the.
Lou.
Yes,
I sent pictures with the text message to the 312 WGN number, and your producer was supposed to be trying to pull those over.
Oh, I think she did. She did. Oh, yeah, I do see that. That's right. You know, there's an old Italian saying, onesto si ma stupido no. So you just don't want to, you know, you don't want to tell people, no, it looks beautiful. Look at that. And is that a real cat sitting inside there?
He's the destroyer of the aluminum.
Yeah, he looks very content. Well, it's beautiful. But
yeah.
here's what I'm going to tell you.
The close-up shows a pineapple growing behind him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Okay, but here's the problem. You're still going to get static on the AM. The only way to solve this is you're going to have to start listening to GN on the stream. Do you own a smart speaker? Do you have Wi-Fi in the house?
Oh, well, yeah, I could set that up. My stereo is too old to adapt to it.
Well, but it's not actually. So here's the thing. I mean, this is just something to think about, is that you could buy like one of the smart speakers that are very inexpensive. I mean, literally $24. And the smaller ones have an auxiliary cord that you could, and with the correct cord, you could plug into the back of the smart speaker and plug into your old stereo into the jack that says record player, phono, or disc, or whatever it might be, and then
or aux in.
So with the right cord, then it would be plugged in, and you literally just tell it to play WGN radio over your Wi-Fi, and quite honestly, it's the way we
bypass the tuner entirely.
Right, and it is crystal clear. It is in stereo. It is how we listen to WGN radio in our house. The only thing I will tell you is that some of the commercials on the stream are a little bit different. You'll hear all the regular live stuff and whatever, but some of the commercials are different. So you'll hear a lot of progressive commercials, but it will be static free. And instead of going this whole roundabout way of trying to get it all done, if you spent $24, which will be less than all that aluminum and everything you want to do, you will see you have crystal clear WGN anytime you want it. Thanks so much for the phone call. By the way, the two companies, the first one that Lindsay found was the company, remember, it was Suburban Softener Company, and their website is suburbansofnerco.com. But then we interviewed a gentleman from a company called Meadowell, and their website is meadowell.com. Those would be two sources for you, sir, to look into fixing your well problem in your home.
This is Nick Offerman. This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There is no nothing that is wrong. Stay here with me. I know you've got somewhere to go.
Welcome back. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. See if we can get a quick call in here before we go to news. Or we'll do our Just Text Me segment also after 9:30 this morning. So if you've got some text messages that you'd like us to cover as well. I know we did that in the first hour, but many of you hopefully weren't awake for that disaster of new phone calls. So we appreciate you being part of the show as well. And I did get some emails during the show about this Noodaloo 2 that we spoke of this morning, too. It's called the Now Light Kit. And Lindsay's now posting that. If you go to WGN Radio, excuse me, if you go to HowSmartsRadio.com, there's a link there under shows, and then you click on radio, and all that stuff gets posted up there that you can find the information there. We're trying to make it a little bit easier to find this morning as well. So we'll do our Just Text Me segment coming up after the news that's coming up in just a couple of seconds. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is the phone number. So if you want to jump on Lindsay's answering the calls, we'll get a few more calls in here before we make way for Home Sweet Home Chicago coming up after 10 o'clock this morning.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy, look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio. It's so funny
how we don't talk. Time for our Just Text Me segment. We like to get text messages from you. Just don't text and drive. It's so funny. Since Lindsay's incommunicado, we asked the very talented Joe Brand. You can put this, Joe, you know, when you put your highlight reel for all those people, you know, you're auditioning for, you know, right. You're a very talented broadcaster. Say, and I, every now and then I fill in for the Just Text Me segment on the House Smarts radio show.
This will have to take over for the last time I did this when I filled in for Lindsay about 9 years ago when I produced for the show. I think it was one of the first times on air on WGN.
That's back when we used to make fun of the fact that your last name was too short.
Well, that was...
Because we were coming out of Panionovich.
Right, right. But even before that, I filled in for Lindsay once, like 9 years ago.
And wow.
Got to do this, and, you know, I've never forgotten about it ever since.
You can tell I have. Okay, how about our first text message?
Okay. Good morning, Lindsay and Lou. We purchased a house in Lombard. We have two windows that are painted shut. What would be your suggestion to getting them unstuck? Thanks, Lisa in Northlake.
All right, Lisa, how about a combination of a sharp utility knife and a plastic putty knife? And so where the windows, if they're, you know, double hungs or casement windows, take that carefully with the utility knife and kind of make a slit carefully between the sashes and the frame of the window. And then take the plastic putty knife, and you may need the butt end of a hammer, not the like the wood part of the handle of the hammer, to just lightly tap it in there to kind of separate it. I would do this sooner than later, because as the heat and humidity comes, if they're wood windows and they start to swell, it'll be even more difficult. And then if you do this and apply a little pressure, any point where the sash meets the frame and separate it, you should be able to get those windows free.
Okay. On to the next one. Lou, what's the best way to clean under the refrigerator? Any special tool that you use? P.S. Your producer, Lindsay, is so great. I'm just reading what I got.
Did Lindsay send that to text? Is that what it is? I can see her. She's just putting her hands up. I don't know. It's just so great. And did it also say, don't be mad at me? Because if it ended with that, don't be mad at me,
no,
then it was definitely not her.
This person just wants to say Lindsay's so great. I guess that's it.
What was the question? I remember. Okay. So, with the fridge, sure, there are special tools, but honestly, what I would rather you do is pull the thing out, because all the dirt and debris underneath the fridge. And this is a really good spring cleaning thing. We'll probably cover this next week during our spring cleaning show as well. But if you can get a hold of, this is tough, but Masonite, which is about an eighth of an inch thick, you can go, a lot of times the hardware stores, you know pegboard, how you can buy pegboard? I know that at a lot of the hardware stores, you can buy like a 4-foot by 4-foot piece of pegboard. That's made out of Masonite. Put the brown side down on the ground, because typically it's white on the other side. Put it right up against the wheels of the fridge. And then just slightly lift and pull the fridge out onto that Masonite. The reason is we don't want to damage the floor from the weight of the fridge. And you may need to move some bottles or something inside the fridge because it'll knock stuff off. But then when you pull that out, using a, you know, a shop vac, you know, with a big hose in there to suck it out of there, that'll make the world a difference. And then you can also use what's called an appliance brush or a tube brush to gently, if you take the toe kick off of the front of the fridge, to loosen up any lint or debris or dust underneath there with the shop vac going along there and pull all that out. It'll boost the efficiency of the fridge. It will lower your energy costs and prolong the life of the appliance as well.
This one's from Georgiana. Hi, Lou. How do you clean glass shower doors that never come clean? Maybe they are plastic. Also, P.S., Lindsay is so pretty.
Are you hearing any of this? She's hearing all of this. I think Joe is just sucking up. That's what I think it is.
I mean, I'll screenshot what I got, and I'll send it over.
That is so funny.
Do you need the question again?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to say things that won't get me in trouble. Okay, so what was the question?
clean glass shower doors, come clean.
They're not, I doubt they're plastic. I just did a segment with this stuff. I'm telling you, this stuff is the greatest cleaner. I just did the shower doors in our son Max's, the bathroom that Max uses. He had a bunch of calcium buildup on the glass door. It's called Brite and Clean, B-R-I-T-E, and Clean is the product. It's a powder. It's a very fine powder, almost like garlic powder. You put that on a damp microfiber towel with warm water, sprinkle it on there, and then you go directly to the glass that's wet, and you, in a circular motion, clean it all up. And you will, as you're doing it, initially, your hand on there, you will feel the glass start to get smoother, which means you're removing the calcium and the buildup and the gunk. If you have tried everything else for doors and this does, and it can't get it clean, this is the stuff that will make a difference for sure. And it really does work well. Joe, thank you very much for doing our Just Text Me segment. Any other text messages to talk about, Lindsay?
Just one. Lindsay from Wisconsin. Hi, Lou. My coworker might not appreciate me as much as I think he should. I try as hard as I can every week, and he still says hello to the other people in the office before me every morning.
Got it. Right. Okay, that's good. Thank you very much, Joe, for participating.
No, anytime. If you want me to do this next week, I'll be more than pleased.
Okay, 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. This is Sue in Palatine. Hi, Sue. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
How may I help you?
First time caller, but I have met you. My husband and I met you at a Catholic charity dinner some years ago. I have a lot of respect for you, and I listen to you often.
Oh,
often.
Thank you very much. This is my Aunt Sue calling in. Thank you, Aunt Sue. No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
Well, how can I help you this morning?
In late January, early February, the front door kind of froze. I was unable to open the door. I couldn't lock it. I couldn't unlock it. It froze.
Mm-hmm.
The wall on the right side of the door buckled and cracked. The door is about 3 years old. And I called, I live in a townhome. I called the town house association, and they sent out an inspector. They couldn't open the door. I called, they said it was the fault of the door company. The door company people, I called them. They said, no, it was the fault of the association. So they're going back and forth. Everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else.
Well, hold on a second. The door company said it's the fault of this association. How?
Well, freezing of the earth and the house is settling. Well, I don't think the house is settling as much as there's a very large oak tree just to the south of the house. Oak. And the roots of the tree run under the garage, which is just south of the door.
Do you have a base? And, do you have a basement in this townhome?
No, we're on a slab.
Okay.
We're on a slab.
Okay.
The roots have cracked the I believe it's the roots. The garage door floor has cracked, and I believe it's the roots that have cracked the garage floor. And
I'm just going to bump up against time here, and I want to try and help you here. If the door was installed and the door company is saying that, you know, there's some movement in the soil, that's not necessarily an association issue, although the foundation part of it might be something that you can address with them. But it could be that with the extreme cold weather, there could be a crack in that slab. And when it moves, then this is causing that door. I mean, the fact that a door would be so out of whack that you could not open it would lead me to believe that it is a foundation issue, not a door issue. And so that is something I think you need to address with somebody like a PermaSeal that does foundation repair. Now, I don't know what the rules are of your association, like whom that falls under to get done, but they may have to come out and excavate in front of that area where the door is and put down what's called push piers to shore this up so that it works. Now, who's going to pay for that? I don't know what the rules are as far as your association goes, but that is something that I would call PermaSeal at the very least to come out and inspect and see, get their opinion on the whole thing. And I bet that's how the problem gets solved, not by reinstalling a door, because sure, they can reinstall the door and make it work based on the conditions that are there right now. But if the ground freezes again and it heaves and moves, then whatever they fixed won't work again. And that, quite frankly, is not the door company issue. It's a foundation, integrity issue that has to be addressed. And I would start with somebody like a PermaSeal.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
I don't know if you ever tried applying for a mortgage before, but it's very embarrassing. I went into the bank to talk to the lady, and the lady said something about credit. And then I was like, oh, I should get credit just for coming in here. It's a lot of work. They ask you so many questions like, oh, hey, did you happen to apply for a Visa card in 1999 down at the 7-Eleven so you could get half off on a salted nut roll? You can't lie. It's a federal offense. So you have to be like, wow, I remember getting a good deal on a salted nut roll one time. And then you don't get a house. That's how it works.
Now back to your host, right here on House Smarts Radio.
I do love those salted nut rolls. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Candy in Virginia. Hi, Candy.
Right. You've got...
Hi there.
Hi there.
How may I help you?
I've got a question. We moved here a couple years ago, and we have beautiful oak cabinets in the kitchen, except around the pull knobs, they look very dirty. I've tried everything. You know, they just look dirty.
Mm-hmm.
From the wear. And is there anything I can do short of refinishing all the faces?
You got a piece of paper and a pencil ready?
I sure do.
All right. The knobs that are on these drawers and doors and stuff, is it a single knob, two knobs? What is it?
It's a single wooden knob.
Okay. I want you to take the knobs off.
Uh-huh.
I want you to buy a bottle of Howard's Restore a Finish in the neutral color.
Okay. Howard's?
Howard, like your friend Howard. Do you have a friend named Howard?
Right. I do.
Well, there you go. So just like your buddy Howard, Howard's Restore a Finish in the neutral color.
Restore a Finish. Okay.
You're also going to buy a package of quadruple zero steel wool.
Okay.
And you're going to get some rubber gloves and a little container when you go to the store, a little container that you can put the Howards in. It's a petroleum product. It's kind of smelly, so make sure you open up some windows. Dip one of the things of steel wool inside the Howards and wring it out. With the grain of the wood, I want you to gently wipe across and then with a clean cotton rag, once you feel it's nice and smooth, wipe it away. And it will bring the oak back to life. It'll look beautiful. And then you can put the knob back on and enjoy your revitalized cabinets.
Okay. Do I have to do the whole face of the cabinet?
I would do the whole face of the cabinet just so it blends in.
Okay.
But here's the thing, Candy. I don't want you to really be super aggressive with the pressure, because if you spend too much time with this, you will remove all of the finish. What this is doing is just taking a little bit off, and the 4-0 seal wool is very fine, yet if you put too much pressure, you'll take it off. So you'll wipe a little bit. You'll get a feel for it, right? Like once you do the first one, you know, do the one that's the one that's by the oven or whatever that you can't quite see. And then do that one first. I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. Hey, that Lou Manfredini, he doesn't know how to work the phone system, but boy, does he know how to refinish a cabinet.
I will try it.
All right, call me back.
Thank you.
Call me back if it works. And if it doesn't work, I never want to hear from you again.
Gotcha.
All right. I got to protect my own, right? All right, Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Quick break, and we'll be right back. And this is Bill in Chicago. Hey, Bill, how can I help you?
Hey, Lou. Yesterday, my electric baseboard heating in the attic popped the circuit. Trying to figure out which I have two up here, and trying to figure out which one popped the circuit. It's on a 220.
All right, hold on 1 second. I'm going to answer that question, but I want to say goodbye to all of you for listening. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio.